Today we're going to be reading from Canto 8, Chapter 9. We're going to do texts 27 and 28. So 27 is on the screen. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Apologies. Pita praye mrite devayir Loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe hari Matajis Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Svamrupam jagrihe harihi Let's go through the word Pita praye mrite devayir Bhagavan loka bhavanaha Pashyatam asurendranam Okay, let's go through the word for word. Pita praye, when almost finished, being drunk. Amrite, the nectar. Devayi, by the demigods. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Mohini Murti, Loka Bhavanaha, the maintainer and well-wisher of the three worlds. Pashyatam, in the presence of Asura Indranam, all the demons with their chiefs. Svam, own. Rupam, form, jagrihe, manifested, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. Thus, when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons disclosed his original form. Please repeat after me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best friend and well-wisher of the three worlds. Thus, when the demigods had almost finished drinking the nectar, the Lord, in the presence of all the demons, disclosed his original form. So now I'll read text 28. Evam sura sudgana samadesha kala hetvarta karma matayo pipale vikalpa tetram ritam sudgana phalam agyan sapur yat pada pankajada jasrayanam nadaitya. Translation. The place, the time, the cause, the purpose, the activity, and the ambition were all the same for both the demigods and the demons. But the demigods achieved one result and the demons another. Because the demigods are always under the shelter of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet, they could very easily drink the nectar and get its result. The demons, however, not having sought shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, were unable to achieve the result they desired. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, it is said, Yeyata mam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme judge who rewards or punishes different persons according to their surrender unto his lotus feet. Therefore, it can actually be seen that although karmis and bhaktas may work in the same place, at the same time, with the same energy, and with the same ambition, they achieve different results. The karmis transmigrate through different bodies in the cycle of birth and death, sometimes going upward and sometimes downward, thus suffering the results of their actions in the karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. The devotees, however, because of fully surrendering at the lotus feet of the Lord, are never baffled in their attempts. Although externally they work almost like the karmis, the devotees go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve success in every effort. The demons or atheists have faith in their own endeavors, but although they work very hard day and night, they cannot get any more than their destiny. The devotees, however, can surpass the reactions of karma and achieve wonderful results, even without effort. It is also said, Palena parichiyate, one's success or defeat in any activity is understood by its result. There are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. The karmis want to use the property of the Lord for their selfish sense gratification, but a devotee endeavors to use the Lord's property for God's service. Therefore, a devotee is always distinct from the karmis, although the karmis may dress like devotees. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. One who works for Lord Vishnu is free from this material world, and after giving up his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead. A karmi, however, although externally working like a devotee, is entangled in his non-devotional activity, and thus he suffers the tribulations of material existence. Thus, from the results achieved by the karmis and devotees, one can understand the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts differently for the karmis and jnanis than for the devotees. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita therefore says, Krishna bhakti niskama aitaiva shanta, bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. The karmis who desire sense gratification, the jnanis who aspire for liberation or merging into the existence of the Supreme, and the yogis who seek material success and mystic power are all restless, and ultimately they are baffled. But the devotee who does not expect any personal benefit and whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is blessed with all the auspicious results of bhakti yoga without hard labor. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gnanjana Shalakai Chakshudun Militam Minatasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhestam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gudau Shri Utapatakamalam Shri Gudun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagaranaganatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalata Shri Vashakanvitam Shcha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sando Dinabandhu Jagatpite Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadadubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavini Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this very wonderful purport, Srila Prabhupada is outlining the difference in consciousness between the devotee and the materialist. And so we could see that the activities of a devotee and the activity of the materialist is practically the same. In fact, the difference is very hard to perceive. It's actually our consciousness. What is our motivation? What's behind our activities? What is our desire? You see? So Krishna, he's behind the material. In fact, he's actually in the forefront of the material world. He's behind everything. Everything is functioning by his power. He witnesses everything as the Supersoul. And he knows what that desire is. And therefore, for the devotee and non-devotee, Krishna gives different results. The activities may appear to be the same, but they're really two separate paths going in separate directions. Okay? And so in today's purport, Prabhupada really talks about that consciousness, and he talks about those two paths, and what are the results of those two paths. So, what is the consciousness of the devotee? Anya bhilashita shunyam. Right? It means to only desire to serve Krishna. So as devotees, we have to take this very seriously. Sometimes we can perform our devotional activities in the mood of the materialist, in the consciousness of the materialist. We have to actually understand what is the proper mentality to do our service in, to do our activities in, and actually try to work in that consciousness. This is one of our main activities as a devotee, is try to really have the proper mindset while we perform our activities. Okay? That's what distinguishes us from the materialist. And Prabhupada seems to warn in the purport not to be a devotee simply working as a materialist, right? With materialistic consciousness. So anya bhilashita shunyam means that we have no other desire in our heart but to please Krishna. That's all we do 24 hours a day. Whether one is performing one's direct devotional service, like the 64 items of devotional service mentioned in Nectar of Devotion, or one is performing one's varnashram duty in Krishna's service, either way one should be offering it to Krishna. This means developing the mentality of pleasing Krishna. Right? The core of our meditation throughout the day, no matter what our activities, we should be how to give pleasure to Krishna with our activities. We see Krishna on the altar. He's wearing a turban, playing a flute. So we have to really meditate on giving him happiness. Right? This is what we're supposed to do as souls, is that we try to give him pleasure. We try to make him happy. We try to give him sense pleasure. Give him enjoyable things. Make him pleased by our service. Make him feel good. That's what we want to do. That should be our meditation 24 hours a day. I want to please Krishna. I want to make him happy. You see? And then that motivates all of our activities. Okay? Not only that, anya bilashita shunyam, jnana kamada navratam, it shouldn't be covered by any other desires. And anukulyena krishnanushilanam, it should be the right kind of activity. We can't just speculate how to please Krishna. There's a certain authorized process which comes from the spiritual master. So we have to engage ourselves according to spiritual authority, but with the mood of giving Krishna pleasure. Okay? So this is the main point, is that desire to please Krishna should predominate our life. That should be what makes us move. It should be what causes us to actually do everything we do. Does that make sense? So these two different, was generally the materialistic mindset is, and we may see this in ourselves, it's sort of like the default position in the material world, is we're not focused on Krishna at all. We don't even remember Krishna. We don't even think of Krishna. I mean, outside of our sadhana and things like that, if you think honestly, how often do you remember Krishna throughout the day? How often are you really focused on making Krishna happy? Our tendency is to forget. Our tendency is that we become consumed with meditating on ourself, isn't it? We really worship ourself throughout the day. We meditate on how to give ourself happiness and pleasure. We lament, we hanker, we think about all the problems of our life and how we can work through them, how we can attain a better position, how we can overcome our difficulties, right? How we can make ourselves happy. That's our primary meditation throughout the day. Like 90% of the time, it seems, at least with myself, that's what I'm thinking about, just good old me, right? So what we have to do in devotional service is take me out of the equation. Take our consciousness off of ourself and put it onto Krishna. That how to make Krishna happy, how to give Krishna satisfaction, you see? So these different consciousness, Krishna will reciprocate differently. If you are trying to please him, then he'll give you wonderful results. Prabhupada mentions in the purport quite a few things. First, he seems to spend most of the time speaking about how one becomes peaceful. So if you see in material consciousness, one is never peaceful. In fact, if you feel that you have anxiety or distress or you're not happy, how many people feel that way? Most of us, to some degree. There's some dissatisfaction, we're unhappy, we're miserable, you know? So this is because of focusing on ourself. If we stop focusing on ourself and focus on Krishna, trying to make Krishna happy, then all of that anxiety vanishes. In fact, I mean, many of you, of course, may be very advanced devotees and may have this realization in full, but for those of us who don't, just make an experiment today. Try that today. Just take a moment and really just try to put yourself out of the equation and try to give happiness to Krishna, and you'll feel immediately all of your anxiety will vanish. All of your stress, all the misery in our life, it just sort of like evaporates just by putting Krishna and only thinking of how to make him happy. And making that the goal of our life. You just capture that feeling, capture that idea, and all your distress just vanishes. So it's practically experienced. And Prabhupada points here in the purport to a Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, Krishna Bhakti Niskama Ataiva Santa. Lord Chaitanya is telling Rupa Goswami that only Krishna's devotees are peaceful. Only Krishna's devotees can feel a complete lack of stress and anxiety in their life because they're only focused on giving happiness to Krishna. They have no personal desires. As soon as you have some personal desire, immediately you're going to feel distress. Okay? We can see an example of this, and mentioned very beautifully, Prabhupada mentions that Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of devotional service. In a very extreme case, he was put into a position that would normally, for a materialist, cause great anxiety, isn't it? In fact, what happened was his father had actually ordered the various demons to kill him. And they tried to kill him in many different ways. In fact, the first way they tried to kill him is, you know, right there it seems in the throne room, Hiranyakashipu was just ordering his servants, you know, just kill this boy right now, this small child. He's just like a cancer, you know, he's like a disease in the body of our family, and for the benefit of the family we must remove him. Just stab him right now in front of me. I don't care, he's my son, whatever. And so the demons went up and they started stabbing him. And Prahlad Maharaj absolutely felt no fear at all. In fact, the amazing thing about Prahlad Maharaj, as just a very small boy, he had no material desires whatsoever. In fact, he was Narayana Parayana. From the very beginning, his only desire was to please Krishna. Never in his life did a desire for himself even enter into it. Therefore, when he was a small child, he would see little boys, you know, the other little boys, they were playing with toys and things like that. It's like when you're a little kid, you know, and play with G.I. Joe and stuff like that, and you're all into your own little fantasy world. You know, Transformers or whatever it is, right? So he would see the little boys playing like this and he really couldn't understand, like, what's their mentality? And he's looking at them like, what the heck are they doing? You know, like, he's fully absorbed in trying to please Krishna and he's like, what does this have to do with serving Krishna? You know, like, it just doesn't make sense to him. And in fact, he would become overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. Prahlad Maharaj would be, it actually describes in the Bhagavatam, he would feel the hand of the Lord touch him. And he would go into transcendental bliss. This is a little boy on the platform of prema. Right? Imagine a small little boy in prema. And tears are flowing from his eyes in ecstasy. right? And everyone is wondering, what's going on with this child, right? So this little boy, his father ordered, you know, stab him and kill him. And even though these monstrous demons, it describes they have coppery beards and coppery eyes, you know, these horrible-looking demons are stabbing him with spears, nothing is happening, right? The spears aren't even penetrating his skin. They can't harm him. So these miracles are following Prahlad Maharaj all around, right? He's in this pure consciousness. He has no fear. It describes there he's fearless, Abhaya Charanaravinda, right? He has absolutely no fear because he doesn't care about himself. Prahlad Maharaj wasn't fearful for himself because he really didn't care whether he lives or dies, right? He wasn't even a factor in his consciousness. He was only thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, nonstop, how to please Krishna and make Krishna happy. Right? So therefore, even in this condition where there's people, you know, putting a knife right at him, imagine a demon sticking a knife or a spear right in your face, you know, and trying to jam it into your stomach, right? So, you know, we would immediately, you know, freak out or try to stop it. Prahlad Maharaj is so loving to the Lord, he's just focused on Krishna. He doesn't care if the spear is coming right at his stomach. That's how deep his love and meditation is. If I'm going to die, then let me die. I just want to meditate on Krishna and please Krishna. Krishna's in control. So many miraculous things happened. They couldn't kill him. They tried to kill him. They threw him before an elephant, had elephants stomp on him. You know, the elephant lifts his foot. There's Prahlad, Hare Krishna, just chanting, you know. He can't be killed. They threw him in a pit of snakes. And of course, he emerges. You know, the snakes wouldn't even touch him. So Prabhupada also mentioned this in the day's purport, that for the devotee, when you work in this consciousness of trying to please Krishna, then things become miraculous, right? Wonderful things happen which are beyond your karma. For the materialistic person, working simply for themselves and in that low consciousness, materialistic consciousness, you're bound by karma. You can't do anything that's beyond your karma. Right? And it's a great struggle. Whatever you try to do is a great struggle. You work very, very hard, and you can only achieve what's coming to you by your karma. But for the devotee, Krishna transcends your karma. He takes full control of the situation, and Prabhupada mentions, even without working hard, you'll do many wonderful things that you would never otherwise be able to do. We can understand Prabhupada is probably speaking from experience. Right? Imagine for Prabhupada, he comes to the West, he's fully devoted to preaching Krishna consciousness, trying to serve his spiritual master. And all these miraculous, he must have just, imagine that experience from Prabhupada's perspective, the 10 years or so of preaching. Imagine what that would have been like for him. Right? It was just a miracle. The entire thing was a miracle. In fact, he said, that's my mystic power. Right, is that Krishna is making all these wonderful arrangements. Even, of course, we know Prabhupada worked very hard to serve Krishna, but, you know, in other words, comparative to what a materialist has to work to achieve tremendous things, Krishna makes things happen very easily in his service if you're devoted to serving him with unalloyed love. Right, he makes all the arrangements, all the doors, everything opens, everything falls into your hands for serving him. Right, so at least in general. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was manifesting all these wonderful miracles. People were shocked, and Hiranyakashipu was shocked. He's thinking, why is it, you know, I can control this entire universe, but this little boy, who's giving you the power to go against me? And of course, you know, Prahlad Maharaj declared very boldly that it's Vishnu, right? So for the devotee, karma means nothing, as was mentioned about astrology and things like that. So the world of karma has no more effect on us. It has no more control. When Krishna takes control of you, because you're simply trying to please him, you see? It's like Krishna feels that, he senses that. It's like you smell a flower. He senses your desire to simply please him and serve him, and he'll capture you, right? He'll take hold of you. And then he'll fulfill those desires. And in fulfilling those desires, there's no limit to what can be done. You transcend your karma and you act on a totally different platform. Does that make sense? So this is one of the benefits. And of course, also mentioned by Prabhupada in the purport, is this point about the devotee is always successful. Right? Meaning that Krishna consciousness is always a success. Even if you just do a little Krishna consciousness, it'll forcibly drag you back to Godhead eventually. Right? It goes into your spiritual bank account and is never lost. Whereas the materialist, whatever work they do and whatever work we do, and that consciousness that we're the dominator, we're the enjoyer, that consciousness where we're the center, whatever work we do in that consciousness, it's always doomed to fail. Okay? This is a very important point to understand. It's a very valuable piece of knowledge that, and it's one of the reasons that materialistic consciousness creates anxiety, because it'll never work out. Right? We're on this sort of plan to dominate material nature, and we're really focused on ourselves and our own happiness and enjoyment, and we're really working on a plan. You know what I mean? Well, that's a project that we have, right? 24 hours a day, we're working on our project of ourself, how to create a nice place in the material world, how to maximize our material happiness, right? So we have to get it, we have to understand very clearly that that will never work. This project that we have of trying to make this material world happy for ourselves, it's not going to work. It's always going to end in defeat. You see? So this is the point Prabhupada is sort of bringing out in the purport, that no matter how expert you are, no matter how hard you try at being successful materially, and materialists work very, very hard day and night to try to make the material world work, it's built into the material energy that that plan will fail. You will be frustrated. No one has ever been successful at the materialistic project. No one has ever done it. No one has ever achieved success in the history of the universe. Even you see great demons like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, far more powerful than any materialist we see today, driving in that material consciousness to make themselves the Lord and Master, peaceful, powerful, happy, right? The enjoyer. But none of them have been successful. They've all been frustrated. And that's why we feel stress. One of the reasons we feel stress when we're in material consciousness. Because as soon as you forget Krishna and enter into material consciousness and really get down in the modes and start thinking of your own enjoyment, right? As soon as you do that, why is it that you become immediately, you know, the stomach tensions up and all the tension, and you start to get really, really full of anxiety? Why is that? Because immediately you've entered into a contest with material nature. You see, material nature will win, and you know that. Material nature is far more powerful than you. Material nature is temporary and full of misery. And you're now going to try to struggle against material nature. And also, of course, we know forgetting Krishna, right, immediately causes fear in the living entity. So as soon as we choose to take on this massive material nature, by our power, by our power, we will conquer it. By our power, I will make it work. I will change it. I will adjust the situation. As soon as you do that, you're immediately terrified because it's really not possible. It's like trying to lift 5,000 pounds or something like that, right? And you try to lift 5,000, your muscles start to tense up and you start to shake, right? So as soon as you try to take on Krishna's energy and defeat it, you'll immediately feel stress, you see, because it's not possible. And in fact, that power, it's arranged inside material nature. It's built like that, just like this temple room. It's built with stones and mortar and wood, right? So the material energy, it's built with misery, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, right? And there's no way to get around that, so just give up. We need to just give up this whole idea and just put our mind on Krishna and try to please Krishna. Right? That's the whole idea. Just put Krishna in the center, try to make him happy. And then the result of that consciousness, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, is we go back to Godhead. At the end of your life, we see there's so many devotees these days who are leaving their bodies. And there's very auspicious symptoms, you know. It appears that many, many, the vast majority of them appear to be going back to Godhead, you know, at least there's some understanding Prabhupada's mercy is there. So we see that the devotees who devote themselves to Krishna and try to please Krishna, their future is very, very bright. Right? They're going to the spiritual world. Whereas for the non-devotee, as soon as we choose that materialistic path of trying to please ourselves and meditating on ourselves, the result is that we take birth again and again and again and again. You'll stay in this material world trying to fight that battle, trying to make it work, right? There's no end to it. You just stay here continuing to fight, and there's no success. It doesn't work. You're just like thrashing around inside water or something, trying to save yourself from drowning. You're not going to get out that way. You're not going to achieve any success. So you just stay in the material samsara sagara, just struggling and struggling to survive. Again and again and again, for millions and millions of lifetimes. There's no end to it until we put Krishna in the center, until we're willing to choose that. And Krishna mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam that, or rather it is mentioned that this is very rare, sudulabha. It's very rare to come to this consciousness of Narayana Parayana. Right? It's very rare to actually give up this attempt to be the center of the universe, right? And put Krishna in the center, to make him the center of our life. That's very rare. It's very hard to do. But once we do that, then we'll get out of the cycle of birth and death by Krishna's grace. Right? So, once again, in conclusion, for us, you know, most of us were performing direct devotional service in the form of deity worship and such, and so many activities, preaching Krishna consciousness. So we do have to be conscious that we're doing it for Krishna. Right? It's not enough to simply do it as your duty, which is the mode of goodness, or a mode of passion would be to do it for name and fame and glory and position, prestige, power. So the mode of ignorance would be not to do it at all, right? So the mode of goodness is, you know, you're doing things as your duty, you're just doing your job, you're doing your work. So Krishna service is not just your job, it's not your work. It's actually, you should be doing it for Krishna's pleasure, trying to make him happy with your activities, right? Trying to make him feel good, make him feel pleasure. That's our position as a soul. So we have to avoid materialistic consciousness in doing our devotional service, or you may have indirect activities such as varnashram dharma, doing your job, you're working outside, or something like that. So that also, Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, to do that for his pleasure. So yat kadoshi yat ashnasi, whatever we do, we should do for Krishna. So we really have to develop this consciousness. We should really take it to heart, take it very seriously, that we need to take ourselves out of the equation and put Krishna in the center and just try to please Krishna and make Krishna happy. And that's, of course, done by pleasing the spiritual master. Okay? So thank you very much. It's about 8:15. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu? Just wait for the microphone. It's coming.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering about in the purport, Prabhupada was saying that sometimes the karmis will dress like devotees. Mm-hmm. So can you explain what that means?
Yeah, let me just read that section real quick here. It says, okay, there are many karmis in the dress of devotees, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can detect their purpose. So what I'm taking this to mean is that there are many individuals, of course, on a very gross level, we could say that there's people that just pretend to be devotees. You know, they act like devotees, or they dress like devotees, or they sort of, you know, there's a lot of people like that, right? That sort of, they externally, they may call themselves a devotee, but internally there's no desire to please Krishna. It's just they're laboring under, you know, for false prestige or some position or power. They just want to appear like a devotee. In other words, the point is that it's not a question of just doing the external activities of devotional service. You have to actually have the right internal mood. And Krishna knows that mood. He's conscious. He's, you know, you may fool everybody, right? All of us, you know, you dress like a devotee, you talk like a devotee, you chant Hare Krishna even. You do all these things. You may fool all the devotees. They may even think you're of a great personality. But Krishna knows what's in your heart. He knows where your internal meditation is. He knows what your motive is. He knows what you're after. If you're after power or prestige or some kind of materialistic benefit for yourself, he sees that and he reciprocates likewise, right? Eva yam prapadyante. So he gives you what you're working for. But if you, so Prabhupada's urging us to have the right consciousness as a devotee, which is the anya bilasha dushunyam, actually working for Krishna's pleasure. It's not the external activities of devotional service that make you a devotee. That's the point. It's your internal mood of service. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's what we have to take from that. Okay, and also Prabhupada says here, One who does not expect any personal benefit, whose only ambition is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is blessed with the auspicious results of bhakti yoga. So, also, Prabhupada, one final point Prabhupada points out in the purport is that really to desire to please Krishna, ultimately what's pleasing to Krishna is to try to help others attain Krishna. Right? To try to get, if you really want to make Krishna happy, okay? He may like sabjis and garlands and things like that. Of course, he likes the devotion with which it's offered. But if you really want to do activities that are pleasing to Krishna, try to spread Krishna's glories in this dark, miserable world. Try to help others to actually become conscious of Krishna. Spread Krishna katha in this material world, and Krishna feels very happy with that. Okay? Because he's very mercifully and kind towards the conditioned souls. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. Bearing on the question that was asked, it can seem a little scary that either you're a pure devotee or you're not. But there's a spectrum, there's a continuum. There's three classes of devotees, as we know. There's a Kanishtha, the Madhyam, and the Uttama. And you have to go, if you're coming out of the materialistic pool, you have to go through all three stages. You can't just jump from being a materialist to being a pure devotee. So, Krishna accepts, and he knows that when you're a Kanishtha Adhikari, you're not motivated by Anyabhilashita Shunya. But if you stick to the process that's outlined by the Acharyas, then you will gradually make progress. In today's purport, it seems Prabhupada is referring more to those who actually pretend, and there are many classes of those. For instance, Prabhupada himself tells a story that in India, there are a class of women who go to holy places to seduce holy men because they think if they have a child by a holy man, it'll be auspicious for them. So there are a class of men who pretend to be holy men and go to holy places, and so they can be seduced by such women. So there are those classes of people who are actually totally pretending. They're not devotees at all. It's not like a Kanishtha Adhikari or a Madhyam Adhikari. They're not devotees at all. They totally pretend. Or Prabhupada would also take umbrage with the politicians. They don't care a whit about Krishna, but they know everybody respects Bhagavad Gita. So wherever they go, they have Bhagavad Gita, and they'll read from Bhagavad Gita, recite, and then they will give their own interpretation. So they're not devotees at all. They're simply using the devotional path for strictly materialistic purposes. So that's different from a Kanishtha Adhikari or a Madhyam Adhikari, somebody who's actually trying to make progress. You don't come through the door as an Uttama Adhikari or after 6 months you become, a lot of people seem to think like that, but it's not like that. It's a continuum. You start out as a materialist, you get convinced to take to the stage of Kanishtha, then you become a Madhyam, and it takes time. So we don't want to scare anyone. It's not that today I'm not totally meditating on Krishna. No, if you follow the process as given by the pure devotee of the Lord, and please the pure devotee, then by his mercy, your consciousness gradually changes. Otherwise, like you said, it's practically impossible. It's very rare to find a soul who's on that platform. So the way you get to that platform is to please somebody who's already on that platform. And he's pleased by our effort. Not that we wake up with a pure consciousness one day, but if we make the effort, Prabhupada says, go out and destroy my books, double it. So if you make that your effort, we'll go out and do that. We'll try to double book distribution. And the Prabhupada becomes pleased and your consciousness raises. That's how it works.
Thank you, Prabhu. If I can add to that, that even though we may come to the door as a Kanishtha Adhikari or even less, still we have to clearly understand what the goal is. And that's sort of the point I'm trying to make is that Anyabhilashita Shunyam, that's how Rupa Goswami defines pure devotional service. It's not that we eventually take up pure devotional service from the beginning. We're supposed to be practicing pure devotional service. It's not that we practice something else and then it turns into pure devotional service. From the beginning, our consciousness, we should clearly understand what we're striving for and work towards that. From the moment we walk in the door, we should have a clear understanding of what pure devotional service is given by Rupa Goswami and given by Prabhupada and work for that, not something else. So that's what I was trying to do, make it clear what the goal is. Okay? Thank you very much. All glories Prabhupada. Okay.